I'm going to start reading at Romans chapter 4 and verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Now, that is where we started out in this particular series that we're talking on the subject of possessing our inheritance. And this particular subtopic is called taking ownership, taking ownership. Therefore, verse 16, therefore it is by faith of faith that it might be by grace, so the end of promise might be sure to all the seed. So it's going to be by faith that this is going to be happening. The promise. Promise what? That we should be the heir. Abraham and his seed should inherit the world. Now I want to read that out of the Living Bible translation. And here's what it says. It is clear then, this is verse 13. It is clear then that God's promise to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants was not because Abraham obeyed God's laws, but because he trusted God to keep his promise. That's verse 13 out of the Living Bible. It says in verse 16 out of the Living Bible, so God's blessings are given to us by faith as a free gift. We are certain to get them whether or not we follow Jewish customs if we have faith like Abraham's. Oh, Lord. I want you to underline that in chapter verse 16. The faith of Abraham. Down here where it says, not to them only which are of the law, but to also that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. The faith of Abraham. Write that down. And also in the Amplified, it says in verse 13, the promise to Abraham or to his posterity that he should inherit the world did not come through the observing of the commands of the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Verse 16, therefore, inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith and depends entirely on faith in order that it might be given as an act of grace on God's unmerited favor. All right, now, that's where we're starting. We're talking about possessing our inheritance. Now, I've heard this a lot, you know, the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. How many of y'all heard that? Okay, that is scripture, isn't it? Well, that's all I've seen. I just seen it laid up. Am I right about it? Man, it's time to unlay it. Okay? Now, I don't know about you, but I'm doing work for the kingdom of God, and it takes money. Okay? And God did it. He attached wealth to the covenant. He said that he's the God that giveth you power to get wealth. Why? So that he may establish his covenant. I'm telling you, it's attached to the gospel. So we need it, and the enemy knows we need it, because without it, you can't take that gospel on the level that it would really, really affect people's lives in a massive way. You know, think about Katrina. Think about some of these opportunities that if we just had the wealth, we could just go down there and build all those houses, so forth and so on. And look how we could witness at the same time. My goodness, woo-hoo-wee, powerful witness. Tell them, look what the Lord had done for you. Amen. Get them saved. Get them in the kingdom of God. So we're seeing here that the whole earth is seemingly, according to the word of God, that Abraham and his descendants were, the promise was to give them the whole earth. Amen. The whole earth. That means everything in it, not only on it, but down in it. Oil, gold, everything. And so with this, we had to come now to understand how that is and the scriptures that we need to build the faith so that we could receive what is ours. Now, first of all, we have to establish who we are. And if you go on down and you look, let's go over to somewhere. Let's go over to Galatians chapter 3, please. Galatians chapter 3, this is what we did, I think, last week. But we'll work around that area. Galatians chapter 3. Okay. You just can't go out and grab the wealth. Give me this. This is mine. My name is Jimmy. I'll take all you give me. You can't just go out and grab it. You got to get it by faith. Okay? Look what it says here in Galatians chapter 3 and verses 13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So, you can add that in there. So, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. You know, let me just take a little side trip a minute. The blessing of Abraham. Y'all have heard about that, right? Now, how many of you know the blessing of Abraham is a material blessing? All right? The spiritual part of that came through Christ to us. And Abraham, you never saw anywhere in the Old Testament where anybody cast out a demon. Why? Because they didn't have that kind of power in the Old Covenant. So I'm just saying the blessing of Abraham was a material blessing, that you saw all the material things that came through that blessing. The protection came, so forth and so on, all through that blessing. Now, with that, I was looking at that because the same blessing was on David. And David gave an offering of over $100 billion of gold to building the temple. That was just an offering. I didn't say tithe. I said offering. Amen. Say amen to this. Amen. Now, if that be the case, and the same blessing is on was on David, that same blessing is on you. So you got a billion flow blessing on you right now. Praise God. Boy, I'm telling you, I saw that. And I begin to work my way back through that. It is there, folks. It is there. All right. Well, that's all right. Ain't no hate. Okay. Now, notice how we might receive this promise through faith. Look at verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said, not to seed as of many, but as of one, unto thy seed, which is Christ. So when he said Abraham and his seed, he's talking about Christ. But when he's talking about Christ, he's talking about you. Let's prove that. Look what it says in verse 27. For as many as of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. And there is neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you are all one where? In Christ. And if you be who? Christ's, then are you whose seed? Abraham's seed. And what? Come on. Heirs. According to the promise. But what was the promise? That he'd inherit how much? The whole world. The whole world. Now, I want you to see this because all you got to do is believe it. Man, boy, this is by grace, folks. Okay, so, and you're going to believe it in Jesus' name. You're going to believe it. Whether you want to believe it or not, you're going to believe this. Well, if I got to grab you and stuff this down, you'll... All right. Now, let's go over to, because I just want to go a little bit further with that. We went over to Hebrews chapter 1. Let's go over there, please. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. And let me know when you get there. Verse 1. God, who at sundry times and diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, but has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So Jesus was appointed heir of all things. Now, hold it. In Charles B. Williams' translation, we said he was the lawful owner of everything. Jesus became the lawful owner of everything. Now, how did he get it? Come on, let's go further. Let's go to Colossians in chapter 2. How did he get it? Colossians chapter 2. Let me know when you get there. Hello. All right, in Colossians chapter 2, it says, verse 14, I'll just start right there, just for time's sake. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Okay, let's find out what that's all about. Okay, let's find out what that's all about. Hold on. There was something else I wanted to show you. I think here it is. This is what I've studied and how I've been told about this, the Jewish custom of that day. When a person had a business and they were debt-free, they probably had borrowed money to get in business or whatever have you, and they got out of debt. They then would take that promissory note that was paid in full and they would tack it to the outside of their business so that people would see that they're a person of integrity and so forth and so on. That's what they do with companies today. They tell you, we are such and such a company, AAA company, and we've been in business since 1896. That's supposed to convey to you that we're people of honor, that we must be doing something right to stay in business this long. Are you following what I'm saying? So notice what happened on that promissory note. It was tacked to the wall so you could see it. Well, Jesus was the promissory note. You see what I'm saying? He was nailed to the cross, see? And that's what it's talking about. Blotting out the handwriting that was against you because you were in debt. He paid the debt, blotted it out. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay. All right. Now, going down, he says, verse 15, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Now, that's all Paul got is a revelation. But what you see is he characterized it as what happened in the Roman times when the Romans went out, the army. Paul often refers to the Roman soldiers because they were considered very well trained and battle worthy. And he'd go out and win battles. And when they win battles, the general would come back. He'd ride in the front of the parade. And then also behind him were his men. Behind him were the captives. Behind them was the spoil. So they would parade, have a big parade coming back into Rome. And that parade they would have, it would signify that we are victorious once again. And all of that. Are you following what I'm saying? And so this is what happened. Jesus, once he was raised from the dead, he then went into Satan's headquarters, defeated him in open combat, and then paraded him. Oh, you got what I'm saying now? And so all the beings in the invisible world see. They know he's defeated. He's defeated. Now, what did Jesus do? He stripped him. What did he strip him of? Everything he stole from Adam and mankind that was under God, everything he stole from him, Satan or Jesus got it back. Jesus stripped Satan of everything that he stole from humanity. Amen. Everything, his authority, his goods, the world, the planet, everything. He stripped it back from him. And now Jesus is the lawful owner of how much? Everything. But here's the deal. You are in Christ. So whatever he got, I got. Are you with me here so far? Now, that's everything. Now, right now, it's in the hands of those who Satan is using illegally. That is not legal that it be in their hands. And what happened is because it's in their hands, once they get it in their hands, the Bible talks about it. And we showed you that in Numbers chapter 33. Well, let's turn over there real quick. Numbers chapter 33, please. You did come to learn something today, didn't you? Numbers chapter 33. See, this is all why God told Joshua, I have given you the land. It's yours. It's technically, legally yours. All right, let's go and look at Numbers chapter 33. Have you got it? And verse 50. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when you are passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you and destroy all their pictures and destroy all their molten images and quite pluck down all their high places, and you shall dispossess. Dispossess means kick them off, the inhabitants of the land, and dwell therein, for I have given you the land to possess it. Got it? And ye shall divide the land by lot for an inheritance among the your families, and to the more ye shall give more into the inheritance, and to the fewer ye shall give the less inheritance. Every man inheritance shall be in the place where his lot falleth. According to the tribes of your fathers you shall inherit. But if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, in other words, if you don't get the spoil, then it shall come to pass that those which you let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and shall do what to you? Vex you in the land wherein you dwell. If you leave them with the wealth, they're going to vex you. They're going to put shows on television that your kids cannot watch. They're going to do why? Listen, nothing against them. Ain't no hate. They're living in darkness. They're living in darkness. They have no concept of what they're doing. And you and I didn't have any concept of what we're doing before we got born again. You follow what I'm saying? So I'm saying with us, what we're talking about here is the fact that Jesus took it all back. Now we got to get it. But we only can get it how? By faith. Now let's see what faith is. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11, please. Hebrews chapter 11. And verse 1. I want to go one more place. I'm backing up what I'm talking about, so we want to go to one more place. That's going to be in Romans chapter 8. But look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things what? Not seen. All right? I'm going to read it out and amplify it. Look at me. Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to your senses. Okay? I want you to notice something. Faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed. How many of you have ever gone to a hotel and they want your confirmation number? Or you made a reservation, they want your confirmation number. I've been there in a place where they said the hotel was full. I said, wait a minute. I got a confirmation number here. They said, sir, let me go back in the back. Came back out and gave me a room. Why? Because of my confirmation. Title deed, if you hold a title to it. Come on, somebody got to give it up. Because if you present the title to the authorities, they're going to have to say, hey, you got to get off. It's his land. Are you following what I'm saying? So faith is that title deed. Let's go over to Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8. So some people trying to get the land without a title. Come on now. All right, look what it said in Romans chapter 8. If you're there, say praise the Lord. Look at verse 16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then who? Heirs. Keep going. Heirs of God and joint heir with Christ. So whatever he gets, what? I get. And that's the way it is, folks. Whatever he gets, I get. And that's the way the thing is written. That's the way it's written. When he died on that cross, God saw me on that cross. When he went to hell and paid the price, God saw me paying the price. And then when he arose, God saw me being raised up. And now he's seated at the Father. And the book of Ephesians chapter 2 says we are seated there with him. So everything he got, I got. Say amen to that. All right, now, as we look at this, as we're trying to cross over to get our inheritance, because basically what you have to realize is that God holds us, the church, responsible for what goes on in this earth. And as we're going possessing our inheritance, the enemy is trying to stop us because he doesn't want you to reach your promised land. He's on that land and he wants to stay there, but God told you, dispossess him. So let's go over now to Mark chapter 4. And this is what brought us into this whole study as I was teaching it on the night of the faith conference. Mark chapter 4, please. Praise God in heaven. Woo-wee. Hallelujah. All right, look at Mark chapter 4 and look at verse 33. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear it. Now, this is interesting. Let me take a little side trip here again. Praise the Lord. I believe, this is Winston now, I believe. Now, you don't need to agree with me, but you can't prove me wrong. But I believe that you can't go any further than you have light. That the issue of how much you can get in this earth through God's way of doing things is an issue of how much light you have. See? Revelation is light. And if you can't hold but so much, you can't have but so much. Are you following what I'm saying? You see, I believe there's light for $100. But then there's light that'll give you $1,000. Now this is with no toil. Now this ain't you working yourself to death for it. But there's light that'll give you $1,000,000. Come on. There's billionaire light. Boy, y'all got to hear what I'm saying, man. I know what I'm talking about. Okay, but anyway. So, let's look at this. Verse 35. And the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent a multitude away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. Now, even as he was is a very, very important part of that, because they took him even as he was. Now, even as he was the Logos. Lord have mercy. Well, the Lord, that came right out of the Spirit right then. It was the Logos. Now, the Logos is different from Rhema, because the Logos is the whole Bible. You believe the Bible? Yeah. How much you believe? From Genesis to Revelation. Praise God, I believe it. Are you sick? Yeah, I'm sick. See, you don't believe the Bible. See, you got a Logos. But when you got Rhema, you know by his stripes you've been healed. So you ain't gonna say that. You got what I'm saying? All right. So they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also other little ships following them. There's always somebody looking at you to see what's going to happen in your life. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship till it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said to him, Master, careth thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea do what? Obey him. Now we said something about this. We said that this storm came up and it was designed to sink that boat, to keep that boat from reaching the other side. Because on the other side, that we probably won't get there today, is Mark chapter 5, and there was on the other side a strong man. And the enemy was using that strong man to control the waterway, to control the seas, to control the system. And he's shouting out, boy, this coming out of the Spirit. Man, I can feel it coming out. And so now, And so now, boy, I can feel it all in my legs when it come up my legs and so forth. Okay. But so now here is Jesus. He's sleeping. Now, this is where sometimes folk who don't know God kind of start philosophizing and prophelying. Here's what they say. They say, and many Christians think this way. Whatever you have in your life, whether it be good or bad, is up to God. You know, kind of a come see, come saw, whatever will be kind of thing. And you never know what God may do. You just don't know. And whatever happens in your life, that's the will of God. So it really doesn't matter how much you do or doesn't matter what you believe, because God is going to do what he wants to do in your life anyway. Okay? Now that's a rationale of many Christians. Now that's an error. So what happens as a result of that rationale? Somebody has an accident. Somebody has an accident, end up at the funeral of that person because they died. And then somebody gets up and preaches this. The Lord gave. Real dark, deep voice, you know. And the Lord. No, the Lord has taken away. Now, I'm not trying to be funny, but I'm telling you, it sounds real religious. It sounds like they know something and so forth. But it's junk. You jump, see? See, if it happened, God did it. Because that's what they believe. And you know that's what they believe because that's what they say at the funeral. Well, here's this little baby, and the baby happened to die, and so forth. Well, God wanted him and plucked him up like a little fire. I done heard so many stuff. I can't even begin to tell you how much stuff I've heard at funerals. That is the biggest place of lying and unbelief I think I've seen. Well, I guess it was his time. Wasn't his time. The boy was 16. Well, you know, if God want to bless you, he'll bless you. If he don't want to bless you, he won't bless you, and so forth. See, all, we put it all on God. But your success is up to you. You see, God is not blessing one Christian and cursing another. This success is up to you. If you succeed, you succeed. If you don't succeed, it's up to you. But God has what he set everything up that's necessary for you to succeed. And God is pulling for you to be a success. But your success is up to you. Now, put something right there. We got to go back. Let's go back to Joshua, please, in Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, very quickly. Now, I told you don't get offended. Don't get offended because I didn't come here and stay up all night trying to think of something that offend you. I came and I'm bringing you the truth. And the truth is going to make you free because you got to get over to the other side and you got to know when the devil is sending something and it's not God. Say amen to this. Look what it says in verse 8 of chapter 1 of book of Joshua. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein how long? Day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way, what? Prosperous. And then thou shalt have, what? Good success. Now, question. Who's going to make your way prosperous? You or God? All right. Now, how many of you say God is going to make your way prosperous? Raise your hand. Come on. No. Okay. All right. How many of you say you're going to make your way prosperous? All right. Let's read that verse and take the religious blinders off and just put your name in there. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou. Now, what is your first name? Say it out loud. All right. When I say thou, when I get to thou, I want you to put your first name in there. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but shall meditate therein day and night, that mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein, for then shall make thy way prosperous and shall have good success. Every place in there, your name was right there. And this is not up to God. And religion leaves it all up to God, which is what the devil wants, because he wants to put you in a place where you are not resisting him. You will say, well, it's God, and I guess God wants us to go down, gluk, 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 and go on down in that boat. It's God that wants you to go to the other side. God has already planned for you to be a success. He has no plans for you to fail at anything you do. Say amen to that. And sometimes what we're doing, we're waiting on God. You're not waiting on God. God is waiting on you. He has seen the end from the beginning, and he has already worked it out if you'll seek him as a way to work it out. Say amen to that. Now, praise God. Where am I now? Glory to God. All right. So in this, what we have to do now is see that, let's come on back over to Mark chapter 4 again, please. Mark chapter 4. All right. Are you there with me? All right. Now he asked him one thing. He said, now where is your faith? Are you following that? Now what do we say it takes? It takes faith to get through the storm. Because if you're on assignment, the devil is coming to try to keep you from fulfilling your assignment, to keep you from getting to the other side. And he attacks your assignment. So the Bible says here, look what it says in Mark chapter 4 and verse 14 again. The sower soweth the what? The word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh when? Immediately to do what now? To take away the word that was sown in their heart. So Satan comes in various ways. It goes on down there, and he comes against maybe your life, your finances, your health, your business, your profession, your family. He comes, why? Because he wants one thing now. He wants to separate you from your faith, because he knows that if you hold on to your faith, that you become dangerous to him and the kingdom of darkness, and he will lose the battle. Say amen to that. So your fight is a faith fight. You are never supposed to fight the devil. You are supposed to resist the devil. You are not supposed to fight denominations. You are not supposed to fight your cousin. You fight the good fight of faith. So now your faith, without it, Satan knows that you're no match for him. And what we told you last time is that you are not even important to Satan. I said, you are not important. You are a zero to him. What's important to him is when you get faith. All of a sudden now, you take on a whole new importance. Say amen to that with this thing. Now, as we look at this, so we have to get this faith and get this faith developed inside of us. Now, this word is all you need. I said, the word is all you need, because everything is in the word. Every strategy is in the word. The wisdom of God is in the word. Watch this. Strength is in the word. Favor is in the word. Miracles are in the word. All this is in the word. So now I just need to get a word. So I need a word from God. Then once God gives me a word, I got to hold on to that word. Say amen to that. Now, what will that word do? Turn to Luke's gospel, if you will, and Luke's gospel and chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Glory to God. In Luke chapter 1, look what happened here. Now, this was a word that God spoke. Look at verse 28. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Who do you think the angel is talking to? Mary. And when she saw him, she was troubled at the saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said to her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name who? Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto thee, to him, the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Now, I want you to retranslate that, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Here's another translation of that. No word of God is void of power. No word of God is void of power. Now, you got to hear what I'm saying. No word of God is void of power. What am I saying? I'm saying the word of God has enough power in it to bring itself to pass. Now, the enemy knows that, and he knows that if you get the word, you hold on to the word gonna bring itself to pass. You can't do nothing. You see, the vessel was the word. You see, Jesus was sleeping in the word. Lord have mercy. You see, once you get the word, hold on to the word, because the word becomes your vessel to take you to the next place. Say amen to that. I know you can't see it in the natural, but just stay with me. What you're doing is understanding that this word, whatever you get, if you hold on to it and don't let the devil shake it loose from you, it's going to bring you to the other side. He said, let us go over to the other side. He didn't say if the weather's fair. He didn't say if people want us to go. He didn't say if the devil says anything about it. He said, you going to the other side. Lord have mercy. Stay with me. Praise God. So I'm just saying, what does the enemy do now? He begins to stir up circumstances around you. And what you've got to do at that point is you've got to hold fast your confidence. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10, please. Lord Jesus, praise God, hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 10, let me know when you get there. Woo-wee. Say, we're going to the other side. You see, when you got that word inside of you, then what happens if you hold on to it? Everything that's out of line, come on now, with that word, gonna have to line up. If I don't care whether it's at your job, I don't care whether it's in your house, I don't care whether it's in your body, I don't care where it is, if that word is in you and you don't let it go, everything in the earth must line up behind it. It must come in divine order. That word will fix anything. The word of God is the most powerful thing in the earth. Oh, I hope you can get that. If you broke, get a word. It'll take you to the other side. You can be a millionaire in a month with the word of God. Now, don't dispute me. Go to the word. It'll make it happen in your life. You won't be broke another day in your life. You get that word and get it inside of you and chew that word and speak that word and stay with that word. Pull them cards out two or three times a day. Speak that word. Say that word. Take it and meditate it before you go to bed. So when you sleep, it'll talk with you. When you're awake, it'll guide you. You get that word. It knows where every trap is. It knows where everything is the devil has set up to try to discourage you in. And he'll jerk you right around that word. But don't you let that word go. You tell people, my wife sometimes, I say, baby, listen, that guy, you know what that guy did to me? She said, wait a minute, sweetheart, I can't listen to it right now. I'm working on something. See, when you're working on something, see, faith purifies you. See, can't you see what I'm saying? I'm saying, notice what happened. The Bible says, he that slanders his neighbor, even in private, shall be cut off. When you're working on something, that ain't no time to run down the preacher. Keep let that get out of your mouth. Folks, when you're working on something and somebody trying to keep you over their house at 2 o'clock in the morning and you know you finna get into something you ain't got no business getting into, when you're working in something, on something, you get up and get out of there. When you're working on something, you keep your pants up. When you're working on something, come on, you keep your skirt down. When you're working on something, I'm talking about when you're working on something. When you ain't working on nothing, you... Well, I'm working on something. I said, who in here is working on something? So powerful, it will do what it says. It will override time, folks. Faith is a higher law than time. Let's say somebody's in prison and they got 20 years to do in time. They can get this word and say, hey, wait a minute, I'm gonna get out of here in 20 months. God, you follow what I'm saying? Now you say, well, Pastor, they get out too early. Maybe they haven't been rehabilitated. Wait a minute, if they got faith, faith gonna purify them. Come on, faith gonna take them thoughts out of their mind. Faith gonna clean them up. Faith gonna get them ready. And in 20 months, they're coming on out. What did it? The word of God, man. Hebrews chapter 10. The faith of Abraham. That's what it told you to have. Now, what was the faith of Abraham? It's found over there in Romans chapter 4. Abraham call things that be not. Come on, come on, come on, help me now. As though they were already. See, he told Abraham, you're going to have a child. Abraham, whoa, now. He knew how old he was. Going on 100 years old. He was past the age of childbearing. That's what it said. He said, Sarah going to have the baby. He said, now, wait a minute. Sarah ain't never had a baby. Are you following? But it says he considered not his own flesh, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. You see, when you got the Abraham kind of faith, you don't need nothing but the word. You don't need no prophecy. You don't need, come on, three dogs barking the Star Spangled Banner. You don't need to touch nothing, smell nothing, feel nothing, hear nothing. All you need is the word of God. That's the faith of Abraham. If God said it, he's going to bring it to pass. Boy, I'm preaching hard today. Well, look what it says here. This is Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. So cast not away, therefore, your confidence. which has great recompense of reward. For you have need, come on, of patience. What's another word for patience? Endurance. That after you've done the will of God, you might receive, come on, the promise. We're going to the other side, saints. We got to go. We have inherited all of this. And I don't know about you, but I want mine. If don't nobody in this earth get theirs, I want mine. Say amen to that. I ain't mad at nobody. I just want the scripture to come to pass in my life. Say amen to this. Did you get something out of this today? Give the Lord a praise for it. Oh, he's so good to us. Hey, we going, Doc. We going. I said we going. Glory to God. You remember when Paul was in prison? And in prison, here's Paul and Silas. They had just cast that demon out of that lady, that fortune-telling lady. And then they jumped on Paul and arrested him and threw him in prison because the devils was making money off of people. And Paul shut it down while in prison at midnight. Come on now, somebody got a midnight going on. Paul prayed. Now we're going to cover this next time. He prayed. But after he finished praying, he started praising. You see, come on now. See, praise means that God, I know you heard me. I don't need to ask no more. All I need to do now is give you thanksgiving. Because it's going to happen. Take your seats. Oh, Jesus. Say this with me. I'm a believer. I'm not a doubter. If God said it, he's going to bring it to pass. I'm going to hold fast with my confidence. Without wavering, because he who promised it is faithful to do it. In Jesus' name, amen.